Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, coming to you on the 5th of August, 2015. And today we're going to be covering a topic which we don't cover enough recently here on the Corbett Report, but which, as I've stated in the past, is extremely important to the geopolitical chessboard in general. I'm talking about Gladio B's area of operations, or specifically one important area of operations, that is Central Asia, where an interesting story flew through the newswire, and I thought to myself, I wonder what this story is really about. So, of course, the first thing I did was turn to christophgierman.blogspot.com, where you can find the new Great Game Roundup, which, of course, is a weekly roundup of events taking place in that highly important Central Asia Caucasus region. I hope you are reading that blog on a regular basis, because it is full of these types of interesting stories. First, let's bring him up and on the program. Christoph, thank you so much for joining us again on the Corbett Report.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Christoph, let's get into this story. And the story that I'm referring to is an interesting one about a tiff that's taking place between Kyrgyzstan and the United States right now. And basically, Kyrgyzstan has just renounced a bilateral agreement that they've had, a cooperation treaty that they've had with the United States, that's been in effect for over two decades now. They've just renounced that treaty because, ostensibly, because the United States awarded a Human Rights Defender Award to Azimjan Askarov, who is currently serving a life sentence in a Bishkek prison for, quote, creating a threat to civil peace and stability in society. And, well, Kyrgyzstan didn't exactly like the fact that he's being awarded by the United States. They say that the United States is trying to cause chaos in their country. A very interesting little story, and I think there's probably more to it than meets the eye, but just to lead us into this story, what is this cooperation treaty? What is the nature of this bilateral agreement that's just been canceled?
The treaty is about tax breaks and about diplomatic protection for U.S. personnel engaged in U.S. aid programs in Kyrgyzstan. Under the 1993 treaty, goods imported into Kyrgyzstan in connection with U.S. assistance programs were exempt from tariffs and other fees, and it also exempted non-Kyrgyz employees of U.S. government or private aid programs from income and social security taxes. But most importantly, the treaty provided civilian and military personnel working with U.S. aid programs in Kyrgyzstan with diplomatic protections. So that means that it's going to be more expensive for the U.S. to provide aid to Kyrgyzstan, and people working with U.S. programs in the country will have to be more careful if they are engaged in nefarious activities.
Very interesting. So this will most obviously affect USAID itself? USAID?
Yes, yes. And the Kyrgyz government actually named USAID as one of the agencies that is affected by this, by the renouncing of this treaty.
Okay, very interesting. So this is not a earth-shattering move, but it is a pretty large move in terms of U.S.-Kyrgyzstan relations.
It's not tantamount to breaking off diplomatic relations. There are also no other treaties. There's an investment treaty with the U.S., so they are still cooperating with each other, but it's a significant step.
All right, well, let's talk about the ostensible reason for this. As I say, the awarding of the Human Rights Defender Award to Azimjan Askarov. Tell us a little bit about this character and the award that he was just bestowed.
Yes, he's a Kyrgyz human rights activist, and he belongs to the country's Uzbek minority. About Uzbeks make up about 15% of Kyrgyzstan's population, and there have always been tensions between the different ethnic groups. And from time to time, these tensions erupt into violence, as we have seen, for example, with the South Kyrgyzstan riots in 2010. And that's where Azimjan Askarov became famous. He filmed the killings and arson attacks and looting that was going on in the south of the country. And shortly after the conflict, the Kyrgyz government rounded up Askarov and several other prominent Uzbek figures and put him in jail for inciting ethnic violence. Askarov was found guilty of participation in mass disturbances, incitement of ethnic hatred, and even complicity in the murder of a police officer. So he was sentenced to life imprisonment by Uzbek court, and all his appeals have been unsuccessful so far. It's fairly obvious that the charges are politically motivated against him, and it's also obvious that he was tortured in jail. But the Kyrgyz authorities are apparently determined to make an example of him, and they won't let him go despite a lot of pressure from the West.
So there is a genuine touchy point here. I mean, the Kyrgyz government is obviously very touchy on this point because they, as they say, it will create chaos with the Uzbek minority that and sort of give hope to the agitators, as they would frame that. So there is a sort of genuineness to this particular incident.
President Atambayev, he went actually further. There was a lot of criticism after they renounced the treaty, not just from the US, but also at home. And the Kyrgyz government defended the decision, and Atambayev came out and accused the US of trying to create chaos by awarding this award to Askarov. And he even suggested that the award was a part of a plot to promote separatism in the south of the country. And Atambayev revealed that during the 3 years of his presidency, the US had pressured him time and time again to change Askarov's sentence. So he was even implying in the same press conference then that the US was behind Kyrgyzstan's periodic bouts of political turbulence. So he was really hitting all the points that the Russians have been making, for example, over the past couple of years. And as Western media was quick to point out, Atambayev is now fueling Russian conspiracy theories and stoking anti-Western sentiments. And that's
exactly
really
right. In fact, that was the first thing that I saw pop up in the news feeds after I saw the initial story break, was this is a Moscow conspiracy that's taking place. They got the ear of Atambayev, and they're basically telling him what to do here. But obviously, I think for the regular listeners to the Corbett Report, it will not be a shocking idea that the United States may, in fact, actually be involved in destabilization of a geostrategic country in Central Asia. So there's obviously those types of politics going on, but there's also a wider narrative that this can be placed in of a lot of countries that are either exposing various ways in which programs like USAID are really adjuncts of the US government and used specifically for covert operations, and doing something about it. Perhaps most notably, as you note in the newest edition of the Great Game Roundup, number 106, which is currently up at the top of christophgehrman.blogspot.com, Russia has just enacted its own law to basically delist NED. Tell us more about that, and also sort of the broader picture of what's going on here, because I think China is also toying with the same legislation.
Yes, Russia has been talking for ages about implementing a foreign agent law, and this has been taking some time, but now they're actually walking a talk. And they have issued warnings to Russian NGOs, which have been deemed as foreign agents. And they are now under a threat of being banned. And the same applies to international NGOs, which are working in Russia. They have drawn up a list of 12 NGOs, the most famous ones, of course, on the list, Chorsos Open Society Foundation, the MacArthur Foundation, and, of course, the National Endowment for Democracy, which became the first organization to be declared an undesirable group in Russia and which was banned from Russia effectively a few days ago. And other organizations such as Jamestown Foundation, Ford Foundation are also currently under threat of being put on the patriotic stop list, which is the list for the international NGOs, and could also be banned from Russia. And what we've seen is that Kyrgyzstan, for example, after they decided to cast their lot with Russia, they have drawn up similar legislation. They have copied some of the LGBT legislation of Russia, and they have also copied the foreign agent legislation. And they're also trying to implement this legislation. There's a lot of opposition in the country to this, and of course in the West also. But I think they will actually go ahead and continue this trend that we've seen in Kyrgyzstan, that they are moving closer to Russia and away from the West.
It certainly does make sense, and of course Kyrgyzstan has now officially joined the Eurasian Economic Union, so there's another bind to Russia, and they do seem to be moving more in that direction. And in fact, in order to counter the Moscow conspiracy theories that we were talking about before, Atambayev came out with an interesting statement, basically floating the idea that Russia will have to take its military base and get out of the country at some point down the road, although he didn't put any timeline on that. Do you think that's really just hot air and just trying to cover the tracks, or is there something to that?
I think he even said this during the same press conference where he came out and made all these attacks on the US, so I think he was just trying to deflect from criticism, because a few people in Kyrgyzstan have been suggesting that Moscow was behind the decision to renounce the treaty. So I think he was just trying to deflect criticism or sending a message to Moscow that they will have to pay more for the rent of the base. But I don't think
there's an interesting story going on here, isn't there? And I think that we really can. I mean, there does seem to be elements of that Moscow conspiracy theory that could actually be happening. There's also the U.S. destabilization of Kyrgyzstan, which I think is also happening. I think there's a lot of different factors at play here, including, as I say, that wider trend amongst a lot of different countries in the region generally to kick out U.S. Foreign NGOs. Again, it's all shaping up. It's very interesting. But let's put it in perspective for the listeners out there who may not have any familiarity whatsoever with Kyrgyzstan. Why is Kyrgyzstan an important player in the Central Asian region, and what possible relevance could this have to relations generally speaking, including, of course, possible Gladio B operations?
Yes, it's of course a very strategically located. It's a small Central Asian country. It's bordering Kazakhstan to the north, Uzbekistan to the west, Tajikistan to the southwest, and China to the east, most importantly. And it's not far from Afghanistan. That's why the United States maintained a military base in the country during its operations in Afghanistan, Manas Air Base, which was very important. They used it for all kinds of nefarious operations, meeting with terrorists, shipping drugs out of Afghanistan. And yes, Kyrgyzstan is a very very important ally for both the United States and Russia, or has been a very important ally for both the United States and Russia, and that's why both countries have maintained military bases in the country, until the Americans were kicked out of Manas last year. And the U.S. has been trying to regain its lost influence in the country, but it doesn't seem to be working.
No, it seems to be going in the other direction. So is there another shoe to drop here? Do you think there's going to be a sort of second part to this story, or do you think things are just going to continue simmering the way they are right now?
That's a good question. I'm not quite sure. I think Kyrgyzstan's next step will probably going to be that they're trying to enact the same foreign agent legislation, because there are very many NGOs operating in the country, and George Soros is very active there. He has been visiting the country a few months ago, which was a very exceptional event, because the last time he visited was about, I think, 10 years ago, just before the color revolution took place in Kyrgyzstan. So they are still wrestling with containing Western influence in the country and with containing U.S. operations. And I don't think that the United States will give up that easily. They have sent one of their best guys to Kyrgyzstan, Richard Miles, who has been hailed as a color revolution expert by Russian media, and who was actually caught red-handed a few weeks ago when he met a local NGO leader just after the same guy had organized an anti-government rally in front of the presidential building. There were a lot of interesting incidents in Kyrgyzstan. We had also the delivery of 150 tons of diplomatic mail to the U.S. embassy in Kyrgyzstan a few months ago, which created a stir in Russian media, and the U.S. embassy said, and Kyrgyzstan said, it was just construction materials for expanding the embassy and building a new building. And the embassy spokesman said they're getting more personal, because the cooperation between the U.S. and Kyrgyzstan is increasing. And as I noted at the time when I was discussing this with peers on our podcast, that's, of course, complete bollocks. The cooperation is not increasing. It's quite the contrary. But I think they were probably really just transporting construction materials for the new embassy building, as the Kyrgyz government confirmed also later. But the question is, of course, why are they expanding the embassy? And they have been doing these kind of suspicious activities ever since Manas was closed down. They have also set up some kind of intelligence gathering operation in the south of the country. And yes, there are a lot of things going on in Kyrgyzstan, and I don't think the US is going to give up that easily on this very, very important country.
Extremely important. And there's that connects into so many different stories. I'll put a link in the show notes to my own reporting on the Manas Air Base closing and what that meant for the NATO shipments of opium out of Afghanistan and all of that stuff. There's just so many different aspects to this, but I think it's a story in motion, so we'll have to see what the next move will be and who will make that move. Fascinating stuff. So I will once again point people to christophgeerman.blogspot.com for the new Great Game Roundup coming out on, I believe, a weekly basis at this point. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And the latest edition talking about the death of Mullah Omar and its effect on the Afghan peace talks. Extremely important things happening, of course, in this year of transition in Afghanistan. Still up in the air in which direction Afghanistan is going to fall. So a very intense situation and very interesting. We'll leave things there. Christoph Gehrman, thank you again for coming on, and thank you for your insights.
Thanks for having me, James.
The Corbett Report presents Laughing at Tyrants, the latest DVD from the producer of...
On the morning of September 11th, 2001, 19 men armed with box cutters directed by a man on dialysis in a cave fortress halfway around the world...
And...
Well, today on the How To Podcast, we tell you how to foil your own terror plot.
And...
But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion.
Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
12 of the funniest Corbett Report videos on one video DVD. Buy one for yourself or share it with a friend. Because the best way to disarm a dictator is to laugh at him. Buy your copy today at corbettreport.com/shop.